Hey, today I want to talk to you about being brave or foolish. And to start us off, there's a video montage we're going to show you. And as you're watching these videos, I just want you to let me know, do you think this is foolish or brave? You can even just blurt it out as you look at it. So we'll go. Let's go now to our videos, brave or foolish. All right, so are we together on the brave and the foolish stuff there? How many of you saw something you thought was foolish in that video, okay? How many of you saw something you thought was brave in the video? Now, are we all together on which ones were brave and which ones? How many of them would you say were brave? One. And what made the difference? It was because that guy did something to help someone else. It wasn't about himself. It wasn't about thrill seeking. It wasn't about doing something he thought was cool, but it was dumb. It was about doing something that helped someone else. And wouldn't we all agree that when you do something, even when it risks your life, and you're doing it for something that's greater than yourself, that's what bravery is. How many of you would agree with me on that? All right? Now, the problem is, a lot of times people have different perspectives on what is brave and what is foolish. As people of faith, many times we see an act of as being foolish, when in reality, maybe it's exactly what God is wanting that person to do. Many times we don't act bravely when we're put in situations because our number one goal is to save ourselves from any physical harm. Are y'all tracking with me here? That in our minds, sometimes saving ourselves from physical harm is the most important thing we can do. And so we all have to ask ourselves the question about whether an action would be foolish or whether it would be brave. But are we including God in that equation? Now, I don't want to risk my life for nothing. How many of you want to risk your life for nothing? But if I put my life in a situation, or if I'm put in a situation where my life is at risk, would the cause be worth the risk? And that's the real question. Today I want to talk to you about the difference between bravery and foolishness as we look back in David's life. Because I think most of us would say that David was a brave man. How many of you would agree with me? David was a brave man. But you can't separate David's bravery from his faith. You see, the reason he was brave is because he had confidence in God. And here is the big idea of today. Bravery is when we risk everything for a greater cause. Foolishness is when we risk everything for nothing. Would y'all agree with me on that? That it's very foolish to go out and just risk your life just for the thrill of it, just for You know, so people will see me. And you see all these bloggers and these YouTubers, and they're doing crazy things, risking their lives. And some of them have even died doing those things. And I think that that is just foolish. But when you're doing something for a greater cause and you're at risk, well, I think that's bravery. Now, as we think about David's life, I would say that David's life was characterized from the beginning to the end by bravery. Let's just think about several of the things that David did that we would think of as brave. Now, when he was a young man, he was out there tending the sheep. What would happen that we would say, well, that's pretty brave of David to do? Does anybody remember? When the lion and the bear would come up and they would take one of David's sheep and they would run off with it. What would David do? He would chase it down, and he would kill it and get that sheep back. He protected the sheep from the lion and the bear. And I would say that that was pretty brave as a young man. Now, even as a young man of 15 or 16, David bravely faced down a giant named Goliath. We've already talked about that. We did a message on that several weeks ago. But the whole point of that is that David had confidence in God, that this giant is speaking terrible things about God, and he was standing up for God. And so we would call that bravery. And David also bravely, and this sounds sort of weird, he played a musical instrument bravely. Now that, again, I know that sounds weird. I know that you're like, why would you have to be brave to play a musical instrument? We're going to get to that because that's going to be the focus of most of what we talk about David today. Before David defeated Goliath, now that was in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, David fights Goliath. But in chapter 16, we read that David actually entered the service of King Saul to play a musical instrument in the palace. Now let's go to verses 14 and following, and we'll see what happened. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre." That's a musical instrument, not a bad character of a person. "He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior, and he speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." And then Saul sent word later as David came and played, and Saul was pleased with this. He sent word back to Jesse in verse 22, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." And whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul, and he would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. So here's the thing. Before David ever defeated Goliath, David had been in the service of the king, playing that instrument so that Saul's spirit would be soothed. How many of you, when you're in a bad mood, music can sort of help to soothe your spirit? Anybody here? Okay. So you sort of get the picture. Now, everything is good until it's not. Would y'all agree with that? Everything is great until it's not. Now, Saul would not always be happy with David's service. And this comes out in the next chapter. After David kills Goliath, in chapter 18, we see that David is still playing that musical instrument, still trying to soothe Saul's evil spirit. And in verses 9 through 12, we read, "And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. And the next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul, and he was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, 'I'll pin David to the wall.' But David eluded him twice." You know, that is sort of confusing. It would only take once for me, you know. Was that an accident? Woo! That spear comes by. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had departed from Saul. So, in verse 13, he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. And in everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. So we see that Saul is beginning to be uncomfortable with David. He doesn't trust David. He's jealous of David. He's jealous primarily because he knows God is with David and God is no longer with him. And so there that day, he tried twice to kill David. Now you would think, you know, that would be all it would take. I'm not going to go back in there and play that musical instrument. I don't know if David hit a sour note. I don't know what happened, but this was not a very good work environment. What do you say when you serve a person who hates you and is afraid of you? How do you handle a situation that puts you in that kind of danger? Now, I know because I've talked to some of you that you have been in some very difficult work environments. Would there be anybody here that would at least admit, you know, I've been in some difficult work environments? There are times when my boss didn't like me. And it was very obvious my boss didn't like me. In fact, I've talked to some of you and I've heard how horrible your bosses have treated you. Cursing you out. calling you names. How many of you ever had anybody throw a spear at you while you're at work? Okay. Now, that's taking things to a whole nother level, wouldn't you say? Now, I'm not saying that you should do the same thing that David did and hang around in that situation, but David did hang around in that situation. In fact, in chapter 19, we see that David is once again back in the palace playing the lyre again. And I'm thinking, what are you doing, David? That seems like a foolish thing to do. So we go to verses 9 and we read, "But an evil spirit from the Lord came on Saul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand." You know, if you walk in and the boss has a spear in his hand, that might be a clue. Don't go in the house, okay? While David was playing the lyre, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with a spear. But David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. And that night, David made good his escape. Saul sent men to David's house to watch it and to kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, "If you don't run for your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed." So David runs out of town. He's on the run for years. And during that time, he faced down Philistines and even snuck up on Saul a couple times. We talked about that last week. And he could have killed Saul, but he refused to do that. But what I want you to recognize is that David was doing what he believed God wanted him to do. And even though he had this king that wanted to take his life and attempted three times, just because he's playing the lyre in his presence, this is crazy. But David continued to serve God because he knew God was with him. And we see, you know, as we read through the rest of the account and the narrative, that he continued to fight against the armies or the enemies of Israel. Now, as we think about that story, was David brave or was he foolish? Now, Scripture commends David as being brave. His courage stemmed from his faith. He believed God was with him, and no matter what, God was going to have his back. In fact, he would write in Psalm 31, verse 24, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." David's hope was in the Lord. It wasn't in himself. It was in the Lord. And his word to you and to me, because our hope is in the Lord, is be strong and take heart. Now, he tried to instill that same kind of bravery in his own son Solomon. Just before Solomon took over the reins as king, David gave Solomon some advice. And in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20, part of that advice was this: "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you." So David is saying to Solomon, look, you do the work of God. God is with you. You be courageous. You be brave, because God is going to have your back. Now, I think that's the way David lived his life. And I would encourage you, and I would say to all of us, that that's the way we should live our lives. Wouldn't you agree? That we should choose spiritual bravery over foolishness. There's a difference between bravery and foolishness. How many of you have seen foolishness as you drive down the road? Anybody here seen foolishness? You know, somebody's got the newspaper reading as they're driving down the road. Well, they got their iPad out and they're watching a movie as they're driving down. So there's a lot of foolish things people do. I'm going to admit and confess that there have been times that I have made foolish choices as I've driven down the road. I don't even know if my mom knows this, okay? It took 90 years for her to figure this out. Okay, so when I was in Bible college, I was coming home, and I was driving from Elizabeth City to Ahoskie, and I was so tired I could not keep my eyes open. Have any of you ever driven when you were so tired, you roll down the window, you slap yourself in the face, you turn the music up as loud as it'll go, and I tell you, nothing was working. And along that long stretch of road between Ahoskie and Elizabeth City, I fell asleep. I fell asleep at the wheel. I don't know what woke me up, but I think I do. Because when I woke up, I was in the wrong lane, and there was a car coming straight at me. I woke up just in time, because I could have killed someone. I could have killed myself. You would have never known me. Now, some of you might have thought, well that, you know, let's think about that. That might have been a good plan. But I think God had a different plan, all right? And I'm going to just say that was foolish of me. Trying to get home, I should have just pulled over and taken a nap or done something. But how many times have we done foolish things like that? And we risk our lives, and we risk the lives of other people doing crazy things like that. But I was young and dumb, and, I wish all the bad things I'd done was when I was young. But that's just one aspect of life. I dare say we see foolishness in many aspects of life. Just some quotes about foolishness from folks. Euripides, that old philosopher from many years ago, talks sense to a fool and he calls you foolish. You ever found that to be true? You know, you're talking to somebody and you're really being rational and logical and they don't get it. You know, it's not breaking through. I'm not going to say teenagers are like that, but y'all know what I'm saying. Now, that other great philosopher, Bruce Lee, y'all know that great philosopher, Bruce Lee? He said, a wise man can learn more from a foolish question than a fool can learn from a wise question. I think there might be some wisdom in that great philosopher, Bruce Lee. Maybe you have heard this before. It is better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Anybody here have heard that? Okay. Mark Twain, I love this one. I was young and foolish then. Now I'm older and foolisher. And again, I wish I could say that all of my foolishness was in my youth, but I think some lingers on. But there are some fundamental differences between foolish bravado and spiritual bravery. You know, I want to look in some of the Proverbs that talk about this. Foolish people have no respect for the wisdom and instruction of the Lord. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, boy, this is a waste of my time. Hearing the Word of God is just a waste of my time. Then I'm going to tell you something. You are a fool. If you think that hearing the Word of God is foolishness, you need to turn that around. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, if you really want to gain knowledge, you must begin by having respect for the Lord, but foolish people hate wisdom and instruction. Foolish people act foolishly. They do things that are dangerous and thoughtless. Maybe a false sense of bravado. Nothing can happen to me. Or look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Even in the time of David and Solomon, Proverbs writer in 17:12, it is better to meet a bear whose cubs have been stolen than to meet a foolish person who's acting foolishly. Now that's pretty serious, isn't it? I mean, that's one thing they say never do. Never get between a mama bear and her cubs. And the writer there is saying, you'd be better off to do that than to be hanging around a foolish person who's acting that way. Foolish people don't even know what to do with wisdom when they hear it. And you've probably experienced it where you've tried to speak wisdom into somebody, but they're not listening. In Proverbs 17:16, why should a foolish person try to buy wisdom? They're not even able to understand it. You know, it's a waste of their money. Foolish people want to create chaos. Part of what they want to do is to just create a bad situation. In Proverbs 29:9, suppose a wise person goes to court with a foolish person. And then the foolish person gets mad and pokes fun and there's no peace. So even in a court setting, you know, people are foolish because they're not trying to find peace. They're just trying to stir up trouble. I think the biggest difference, though, is that the foolish person puts his confidence in himself. His confidence is certainly not in God. As David wrote in Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. David saw that. The foolish person has this false sense of security. And it's based on their misunderstanding of themselves because they think they got all the answers and they think that nothing bad can happen to them. In Proverbs 14 again, in verse 16, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. Doesn't make sense. And the foolish person exalts himself. In Proverbs 30, 32, if you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, clap your hand over your mouth. In other words, don't say it, don't do it. Now, Paul had to deal with foolish people as he went around and planted churches and worked with church leaders. There were people that the Bible describes as false apostles. And they would go out and they would brag about all that they did and everything about who they were because they were trying to promote themselves. And at the same time, they were saying things about Paul. Say, well, he's not a real apostle. Well, Paul responded to these false apostles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just listen to what Paul writes in verse 16. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. So you get the picture. He's not really taught. This is not the way God would have him talk. He's just responding to what these other people are doing. Then we go down to verse 21. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. You know, it seemed like one time would be enough on that, right? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. In other words, he's been in danger. You get that? I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Now, a lot of people will look at Paul and say, man, he's a foolish person for continuing to do what he's doing. But he concludes, who is weak, and I do not feel weak, who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. See, Paul understood, look, when I'm bragging about myself, when I'm foolish enough to think that I'm somebody because of the things that I've done, because we're not really. If we really compare ourselves to Jesus, we're nothing, right? And Paul understood that. Without God, I am nothing. But he was just responding to those people. And he was saying how foolish this is that somebody would brag about these things. Our confidence must be in the Lord. And when we have that confidence, we will be brave. The spiritually brave put their confidence in the Lord. In Psalm 71 and verse 5, we read, for you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From the very time that David was a young man, watching those sheep in the field, from the time that he went out on that field and he faced down that giant, his confidence was in the Lord. And that gave him courage. In Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, we read his words, the Lord is my delight and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. You see, the confidence that he had in the Lord. What we learn from David is that foolish people put their confidence in themselves, in their abilities, at the exclusion of God. The spiritually brave person trusts in God's abilities and the gifts that God has given to them. Our confidence must be in Him. And when we put our confidence in God, then we will act bravely. And I want to just encourage all of you to make brave choices rather than foolish choices. I want to challenge you on what you consider brave or foolish choices. You know, some people want to come to the conclusion that some things are foolish or brave based strictly on a worldly point of view. But when you put God in the mix, you throw all of that out the window. Let me ask you something. As we're sitting here today, and all of us know the story of David, suppose you were David's mother or father, all right? You were David's mom or dad right here. And David comes home, and he's a little dirty. Maybe he's got some blood on him. And he says, Mom, that bear came and stole one of the sheep, but don't worry, I went and killed the bear and brought the sheep back. Or Dad, a lion attacked, and he took one of the sheep, but don't worry, I chased him down, and I killed him. Now, would you be thinking, that was foolish? Son, what are you thinking? That sheep is not worth your life. Isn't that what we would be thinking? Why would you do such a foolish thing? So that might have been our perspective. Because as parents, you know, our main concern is that our children never experience pain. Y'all with me on that? But is that a godly thing? Should our main concern be that our kids never experience pain? I don't think so. Now let me ask it this way. Suppose David comes home, and he comes in and he says, Mom, I know you sent, Dad, you sent me down there with the food for my brothers, but, you know, as I was sitting there and I was listening to this Philistine giant, and he was talking smack about God, I just couldn't take it anymore. I had to go out there and I had to fight him, you know, and I fought him with a sling, you know, and I killed him. What are you going to be thinking? What you're going to be thinking, what were you thinking, you know, going out against the giant? You had an army there. None of those other guys could stand up and fight against him. But you're 15, 16 years old. What are you doing, son? That's foolish. Or was it? Was it being led by God, even into a dangerous situation? If David were your son, would you consider it wise or foolish that he kept going back to the palace and playing that lyre after the spear had been thrown? At one time, I mean, that would have been enough. Most of us would say, son, those are some foolish choices. And again, because as parents, our main thought is we got to protect our children. We aren't thinking about what's right or what's wrong. We aren't thinking about God's reputation. We're not even thinking about God being in the equation. We're just thinking, oh, I got to protect my child. But David was thinking about God through every one of those circumstances. He wasn't foolish because he knew God was with him. Now, years ago when I was a campus minister, I had a young lady that was in the ministry, and she wanted to go this one summer up to Nepal and do some service work with a mission up there. And she was very excited about this. And, you know, it wasn't an especially dangerous place, but anytime you go outside of the country, there is some inherent danger. We all know this, right? Especially if you go to a third world country, there are some dangers. If you get in an airplane and fly, there might be some dangers. But let's be honest here. If you drive down Fire Tower Road, there are some dangers, right? So it's not like we don't, every time we walk out of our house every day, there might be some dangers. But she was so excited about this opportunity, and she went home and she told her parents about this great chance she had to serve God and to do this neat thing. And you know, now her parents were Christians. They went to a church that supported our ministry. And you know what her parents said to her? They said, how could you do such a thing? How could you be so foolish? How could you do this to us? I'm like, do that to you? Well, I guess what they meant was, you know, we're going to be worried about you. It's going to cost us some money to help you get there. How could you be so foolish? And she didn't go because her parents wouldn't allow her to go. And I wonder to this day how that changed her view of serving God. That you can only serve God if there's no danger. If you can only serve God if there's no issues or no problems or it doesn't cost you anything. And if that's the case, then we might as well all quit serving God, because when you serve God, it's going to cost you something. Y'all know that? She had confidence in God and was willing to take a brave step out for Him, but her faith was quashed by parents who just wanted to protect her. They weren't thinking about God or what God's will was. They were just thinking about protecting her and maybe saving some money. Bravery requires confidence in God. And sometimes parents, that comes to us, that we have to have confidence. If God is calling my child to do something, I've got to have confidence that He's going to be with them. The difference between foolishness and bravery is that foolishness is all about self-confidence. Foolishness says, look at me. Yeah, I can't get hurt. I'm like Superman. Nothing can harm me, so I go out and I do these dumb things. I'm too gifted. I'm too talented. I can taunt fate because I am so skilled. And then you're not. And then you're dead. Anything I want to do, I will do because I want to do it. To me belongs the glory and the spoils of victory. That is foolishness. But the true spiritual bravery says, consider God, not me. I am weak. He is strong. If I can help others, God will give me the ability to do it. God has gifted me, and with His help, I can do this for Him. Anything God wills for me to do, I can do. To God be the glory and the honor. Think about the decisions you make in life every single day. And ask yourself, what can I do today that will honor God and bless others? That ought to be our question, shouldn't it? It shouldn't be, how can I be safe today, God? How can I not have any problems today, God? Sometimes that's the way we pray. Lord, just don't let anything bad happen to me. Well, that's not even realistic, is it? Maybe we should be asking, how will I deal with the conflict when it comes today? Because it's not if, it's when, right? Will I face it with faith or will I run in fear? Is this decision I'm going to make about me or is it about God? Is this decision based on my love for others or is it based on my love for myself? Am I promoting myself or am I promoting God? Is God opening the door or am I trying to kick the door in myself? Now listen, I got something in my hands right here I've been waiting for a couple of months. That thing right there, it's cost me more money than it should have. But I was beginning to wonder, God, are you really wanting me to do this thing? Christy and I leave for India on Wednesday. Yay. Some of you are too excited about me leaving. Yay. Is it a one-way ticket, Tim? Yes. Now, I have known the folks in India for over 39 years. I have met a team of people who love the Lord and want to honor Him above everything, even above their own safety. Now, are they foolish for taking risks for God? Some would say so. Some would say that if you're risking your life to do anything, that is foolish. But if you're risking your life to do what God has called you to do in His service, is it foolish or is it brave? If you risk your life to save others, is it foolish or is it brave? I say it's brave. When you think about first responders, how many first responders do we have here in the church? Anybody here? First responders? firefighters, EMTs. They're all out responding this morning. Okay. All right. Well, I think when we think about people like that who will run to a problem rather than run away from it. There's a fire and they go in and they bring people out and they save them. Do we call that foolishness or we call that bravery? We call it bravery. Because they're doing something that's not about themselves. They're not trying. Now they're taught to do things wisely and they're trained how to do these things. But their goal is to save lives. And we say that's brave. How many people have been in the military here? Raise your hand if you've been in the military here. Okay. So every one of these people that raised their hands, they may not have been in the thick of battle, all of them. Some of them have been. But every one of them was prepared to go into battle and fight an enemy. But you know, there's also that thing about, you know, the bravest soldiers are the ones, when you think about it, they run out and they try to save their friends and bring their friends out of harm's way. Now, would we call that foolishness for them to jump out and risk their life to save one of their friends, or do we call that bravery? We call that bravery because they were not doing something based on honoring themselves. In fact, many of those, when you talk to people that have received the Medal of Honor, you read their stories, you know, their thought is the heroes are still there in the battlefield. I'm not a hero. I just did what I had to do. They didn't do it to bring attention to themselves. They did it because there was a need, and they did something to meet that need. Their motivation was helping others. They were risking their lives for a greater cause. Now I want to ask you this question. Is God's cause any less great than all of those other causes? Is it? Is the cause of winning souls or helping people find eternity less important or less brave than saving a person's physical life? What do you think? I don't think it is. In fact, I could make an argument that possibly it's even more brave. But I've met many brave Christian men and women. Now, I've shared this story before. I hope it's been a while since I've shared it. But I know that there's a lot of people that are here that weren't here, I think, the last time I shared it. But there was an older gentleman who has since passed away. His name was Mihar Singh. And he's one of the greatest preachers I've ever met. Never heard him preach, but I know what this guy did. And he did many things to make a difference and influence people there in India. And some things that people would even consider foolish. And that's the reason I want to bring up this story today, because I think a lot of people would hear what Mihar did, and they would think he was foolish to do that. So he was going into this village one day, and as he walked up to the entrance of the village, he was met by four Hindu extremists, and they told him, if you come in here, we're going to kill you. Now, most people would say at that point, maybe the prudent thing to do would be to leave and not come back. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Mihar turned around, and he walked away. But he didn't really totally walk away, because what he did was he walked around the outside of the village, around the perimeter, and he came in the other side of the village, and he came up on this family that he was going to study with and teach, because, you know, he knew that these people needed Jesus, and he was their connection to Jesus, and he could not just walk away. So as he was studying with this family, these Hindu extremists came up on him, and they took sticks, and they started beating him with the intention of killing him. They wanted to kill him because he was telling people about Jesus. Think about that. Just let that sink into your head. Because he was telling people about Jesus, they wanted to take his life. And we say that's crazy. Some people looking at me are thinking, you were foolish to even go back in there. But as he's laying on the ground being beaten to death, He begins to pray out loud. And the leader says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm praying for you." Now, that sounds a little strange. Now, most of us, if we were in that situation, we'd be calling down curses. "God, kill them. Take them out of here." But he was praying for the guy. And the man said, "Don't you know that I want to kill you?" And Mihar said, the guy said, "Why would you pray for me?" And Mihar said, "Because Jesus loves you and I love you." Now, would you be able to say to somebody that's beaten you to death that you love them? But Mihar had a different view than many of us do. Because most of us are all about our physical protection. We're thinking, "Oh, if somebody wants to do me harm, then they're my enemy." But he was looking at it like this. They didn't even know what they were doing because they don't know Jesus. And he introduced that guy to Jesus that day. The leader sent the other guys home. He picked Mihar up in his arms. He took him to a house. He left him with his family. He said, "Y'all take care of him until he gets well." He gave them money for food and medicine. And every day he would come back and he would meet with Mihar. And you know what Mihar would talk to him about? He would talk to him about Jesus. And eventually that man would become a Christian. And even become a brave preacher himself. All because Mihar did the foolish thing in some people's minds that he didn't think about his own safety. He went in and did what God led him to do, and he trusted in God. Because he knew that even if you take my life, I'm going to be with God. Now, that's what I call brave, not foolish. Remember, bravery is when we risk everything for a greater cause. Foolishness is when we risk everything for nothing. And as you leave this place, I want to leave you with the words that God spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." If we put our confidence in God, it really doesn't matter what men do to us. It doesn't matter what the enemies of God say. It doesn't matter how foolish people will act. If you act with bravery based on your confidence in God, God will be with you wherever you go. And I'm going to say this to you, because I'm going to be gone for about, 2 weeks. So I won't be back until November to speak to you. But if anything should happen to me while I'm gone, don't you feel bad about me. Don't you worry about me. God has me. I'm good. No matter what happens. I just ask that you pray that God would give Christy and I bravery and confidence in Him. No matter what, that He would give us bravery and confidence. Father, every day we have to make choices, either foolish choices or brave choices. And I ask you, Lord, that every person here would just allow your Spirit to lead us, to avoid the foolishness of life and to choose the brave things where we, if we're going to risk something, may we risk it for a greater cause. Give us wisdom. Give us courage, Father. Like David, use us to bring glory and honor to your name. May we not shrink when your enemies attack. May we live by the principle that if God is for us, who can be against us? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.